Well, let's go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Man, those are some good songs. Thinking about our God is victorious. Amen. That even though we have battles, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect yet. I like to think I am, but I'm not there yet. And man, there's times where you just look back at a day and you think, I did not live up to what God wanted me to do this day. And to know that, man, those sins have already been forgiven. That one day I'm going to stand before God in a holy place, and all the battles of this flesh will be gone. And it's, man, I'm looking forward to seeing what heaven's going to be like. Yeah. It's hard. I can't imagine to describe where God is. I mean, just try to describe God, first of all. Yeah. The supreme and all, that has no beginning, has no end. Try to put that into some nice descriptive words. And then try to describe what his house looks like. Yeah. And man, I don't envy John as he put those words down in Revelation. But man, one day we're going to be there with him. And I can't help but, when we get singing, hear a little bit of that choir up in heaven. Yeah. Yep. And I know you people have said it so many times, but imagine all the millions who've come to Christ, who'll be in glory, singing together. And man, if you struggle to sing here, I don't think it's going to be a problem there. Yep. Amen? And we just sing out in perfect harmony and perfect praise without our mind being somewhere else, without our spirit being weighed down by what happened right before we walked into church today, but being able to really praise God. I mean, that's going to be something someday, and I'm looking forward to it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. If I stay on it, we'll never get to Matthew chapter 13. Amen. There's a short parable here. Verse number 47, we're going to read it. Verse number 47, there's a couple in this chapter. And let's just read it and then we'll get into it. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. And there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus saith unto them, Have you understood these things? They say unto him, Yea, Lord. Just as much as I look forward to that day when we get to stand before God in glory and righteousness and holiness and worship and perfection and freedom from sin and freedom from strife, there's another group of people who aren't going to stand before God as their King and their Savior. Oh, He's their Creator. Jesus should have been their Lord, but their destination is very different. This isn't a long parable, and it reminds me of some, you know, some thoughts that are somewhat sad about death, about hell, about the end. But as Christians, in these things, we can find joy. Amen? We can find purpose. We can find happiness. And let's go through it. Let's look at the different parts of this parable. First off, we see here in verse number 47 that the kingdom of heaven is like a net, which was cast where? Into the sea. The sea is the world. The world is a massive, massive place. I've only got to travel little bits of it. And then, man, it just keeps going and going and going. What did they say, 190-something million miles the earth is? That is a big place. And Christ tells us at the end of this book of Matthew to do what? Go ye therefore and teach how many nations, Brother Humby? All nations. That's the other one. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. All nations. This world, the sea here, it's a world. I mean, it covers
everything. It's massive and it's bountiful. 7.8 billion people in the world right now? That is a lot of people. That is bountiful. It is a full place, but what does Christ tell us when we look at this full world? John chapter 4, verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So when we look at the world, it's a massive place, and it is full of people. But what does that mean for you and me? It means we've got a job to do. Because we just read the end of this parable, every single one of those people is going to stand before God. Some of us will get to sing glory, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, with smile and joy in our hearts, and others are going to stand before Him in fear and be severed and cast off into the furnace. We see not just the sea, but we see the fish. It says the fish in this parable, they're the people, right? And we know people come in all shapes, sizes, colors, personalities. But our job is to be fishers of men. Christ said in Matthew chapter 4, and He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I like how He's using fish again here. Why? Because it follows that same thought that He carries through with His disciples. Be fishing. Be active. Be out there trying to win people. Be fishers of men. And here, though, the fishers in this story are a little different. Verse number 49, it says, so shall it be at the end of the world. Who's going to come forth? The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. So you imagine this huge hall of fish, souls, standing before God, and the angels are bringing them in and severing the wicked from the just. Christ tells us in Romans, or the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 14, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Abigail's going to give account of herself to God. I'm going to give account of myself. Mrs. Bayer, you're going to give account of yourself. And man, the blessing here is at the end of this lesson. I mean, what happens? The just are forgiven, the just are able to come in, and the wicked are severed. And I thank God that it's not by my own justice. Amen? It's not my own righteousness that lets me into heaven. Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we should be made the righteousness of God in Him. Who's the Him? Jesus Christ, amen. We get His righteousness on us. Because I think if we all were honest, and you've been alive for more than 5 minutes, it seems, man, you know that I am not worthy to stand before God. I can't stand in front of Him and say, look at all the good things I've done. This is good enough to get me into heaven. You know that the righteousness that we have comes through Jesus Christ. What a blessing to know that. But I'm reminded once again when I read that about all the people who are trying in their own righteousness. There's a lot of good moral people, religious people, who are working and trying and striving away, trying to earn some kind of righteousness. Man, it is up to you and I to make sure when we go out in this world that we bring this gospel message with us, with the thought, the remembrance that that person, my neighbor, my coworker, my relative, just like I get to stand before God and say, whew, praise God, it's not by my righteousness, by your Son, my sins are forgiven. And you know all the songs we sing, all the verses we can read that bring joy to our hearts, that man, one day we get to be before Him, we're going to praise Him, we're going to worship Him. There is a much larger crowd who that day is going to be the worst experience of their life, and it only gets worse from there. And yet, so often we close our mouths, we close our eyes. I don't want to see it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to say anything. I'm too busy today. I'm too tired today. I'm too worn out today. and we don't share the gospel. There's one more piece of this story, and that's the net. The verses start with it in verse number 47. So we have the sea, which is the world. It's filled with the fish, who are the people. We have the fishers, who are the angels, going to be drawing them in and separating them up. But it all starts here with the net. The kingdom of heaven, verse number 47, is like unto a net. The net is that passage of time that is bringing all men to God. And what has the net done? First off, we're going to go through this quick. The net was cast into the sea. Now, God has all things under his control. We just sang, our God is victorious. He always wins. I mean, the plan, the whole way the world works is under God's control. Now, he has given Satan reign. He's given him power. But at any minute, he could say, okay, it's done. Your life, my life, this whole thing, this whole sea is under the control of God. And when he takes that net and casts it into the sea, that is his will. That is his control. Now, in the days of Christ, they didn't fish like we did today. It was a little bit different, especially with nets. I was reading up about it, trying to figure out how they fished. And there was three main ways they'd use a net. One is just they would, a little circular type net, they would cast maybe with some rocks to weigh it down. Just kind of throw it off the boat and spread it out, let it drop, and hope, like, I throw it here, and I'm going to get a couple of these guys before they swim away. And it'll weigh down, it'll be trapped under, and then when I pull, they're stuck inside the net. Another way they would do it is, it's what we see a lot here in this story, is either a group would be on land, or you would have two boats. And if, let's imagine Seth and Kathy hold a rope that has a net attached to it. And then I take go out in a boat, and I'm going to sail all the way around this corner, across the front of the church, and then I'm going to start heading to shore back by Brother Dickinson. And as I get closer to shore, these people that are over here are getting pulled in first because they're stuck at the start of the net. And we gather everyone. And that's what I see here in this verse, that, man, it is cast into the sea. God's will is not just for the Christian. God's love is just not for the Christian. God's honor that he deserves is not just from the Christian. When God is supreme, that means not just in your and my life, but he deserves that supremacy in the life of every person. God has a will for the lost man who's still outside the doors of the church. We're blessed and honored to have salvation and to get pieces of God's will and be able to walk in it. But he didn't, I don't believe this, some people believe it, that God let people be born just so he could send those people to hell. No, I don't believe that for a minute. God's will is that all should come to repentance. God's will is that the whole world should be saved. He desires that neighbor that's next to you. He desires that coworker. He wants them to be saved. When he's drawing them in the net, that net includes everyone. It isn't just a few selected ones that he wants to bring to him. He wants the whole world to be saved. And as the net gets closer and closer to shore, that is time, God's will, drawing people to the end where they're going to be sorted out here. But man, that net is cast out there to get everyone. There's a third type of net. And it was called a trammel or trammel. I don't know if I'm saying it right. But it's almost like two nets together. There's one with big holes to catch the big fish. And then behind it, looser, is a net with a lot smaller holes. And as a little fish could swim through one of the big ones, and then he gets stuck. As he goes through, he gets stuck in the small one. And he'll swim around to get stuck, and he can't even get back out because he gets all tangled up in the little net. He gets entangled. They get trapped in there. Christian, you and I, just like the lost man, are being drawn to God. He has a plan for our lives, and one day, in everybody's life, it's our time. And it's our time to stand before him and give account. Now, for some people it's short, for some people it's longer. But every one of us is going to stand before him. And I imagine this net as it comes around the room and it's drawing people in, your life will change as you go through. And it, as we get closer to that end, our mindset changes. Young people, when they're really young, they don't know anything, right? The world is just butterflies and rainbows. and ponies and ice cream, they don't understand. But I just saw a little video the other day of a guy gets his first paycheck, and he didn't know what taxes were.
Yeah.
That's a surprise. Don't know how the world works yet. That's the young people, man. Carefree. They don't yet realize that the net is there, right? They don't feel time. They don't feel older when they wake up the next day. They don't look back on their past and think about how things have changed. Young people don't do that yet. And then you get to teenage years. What are teenagers like? I mean, for teenagers and young adults, it's all, I mean, how many teenagers, I'm going to travel the world. You know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to get to see, and they got this grand vision for what life is going to be. And then as you get older, it's usually the 30s, 40s, 50s, I think. I'm not there yet. I'm still in my 20s. They get all looped together, right? And that is when responsibility really hits you. And you got the family trying to pay off your mortgage, and you've got the cars breaking down all the time, all that kind of stuff. And life just day. Whoa, what? A year's gone. And every day is almost like a pattern that doesn't change with new issues that pop up in it, but the same kind of thing, and time flows by. And then you get a little bit more experienced in your life, older, and you begin to mainly look back. Because you can feel the net kind of, it's right on you now, pushing you towards shore. And the day when you're going to stand before God. And you like to maybe relax a little bit and enjoy and think about memories and times that have happened. And we just sang tonight, we sang a little bit about that, how it's been a long journey, but I have been blessed walking with Jesus. There's some elderly saints who before they went on, and maybe some who are getting up there in years, who just say, no, I'm just praising God for what he's given me in life. It's been a long journey. And I hear testimony from people as they get older and older. They just say, you know, it's time. I'm ready anytime God wants me. I've had my life, and I'm waiting for God to bring me. And that's what we each expect, right? Man, one day I'm going to be 85, surrounded by great-grandkids, and at my house still, that maybe a house we just got. But we don't get to decide that. God is the one who's drawing the net. God decides if you're just about to shore or if you're way out at sea still. But for all of us, we need to remember that net is getting closer to shore the day that God's going to say, it's time, and you're going to stand before me. Some people get entangled. You know there's freedom in the net? You think of that. I'm stuck in a net. How can I be free? Hey, there's nets all the way up here. You can go anywhere you want in here. You know the people who feel stuck? The ones who are trying to resist it. Because imagine a net's right here in the front row. Does Mrs. Jabisky even know it's there? No. She's got no idea. That's the liberty that we have in Christ. That ability to, if we're in his will, if we're going with the net, you don't even know it's there. When it runs up on you and you're fighting against it, that's when people get entangled. Like that little fish who gets through. And he's all stuck in that net. His whole journey from that point till he gets to shore, where is he? Stuck, entangled in the net. Christian, the Bible, we only have two thoughts and I'm going to be done. The Bible warns us about entanglement. When we get wrapped up in things, we get stuck in the net. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. We're going to look at a couple verses here. I'm not going to keep you much longer. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. It's good to have you back, Brother Sutliff. I don't get that very often if you're not here. Usually I get this and people that are stretching and look towards the clock like they weren't. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. This is similar to what we just read in Matthew. Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 12. I'll give you a minute to find it. For man also knoweth not his time. That's what we're talking about. We don't know what time we're in. We don't know if we've got a day till we stand before God or he's got 50 more years for us. We don't know. For man knoweth not his time as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when what? When it falleth suddenly upon them. You and I, brethren, as Christians who know the Word of God, it should not be an evil net. It should not be a snare. It should not be an evil time that comes upon us, because it's a time of rejoicing when we get there. Christians, we have to be careful how we look at death. And God's been showing me verses. We don't have time to look at all of them tonight about, man, I shared a little bit with Brother Kovacheski a couple weeks ago when we were over at their house, that as humans, we want to avoid it. Man, that's it. That's like the ultimate thing that happens in someone's life. But in God's eyes, it's not. That's just one part of it. And then there's a whole other part that we barely understand that's going to come after. What a blessing that is to think about. That it doesn't have to be an evil net that we're resisting and fighting and saying, bless God, I got to try. And we dread it and we have fear. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's sometimes we get close to death in our thoughts or what happens in our lives, and God takes us through the valley. There's going to be a time where, no, this is the last valley. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. If we're saved here today, be in God's will. Don't resist Him. And see, that net draws you. Go with God and enjoy the freedom and the liberty and all the blessings that God's had for you in your life as He's drawing you through His will to the end. Where we get into trouble is when we turn around and we say, not me. I'm not going to go in God's will. I don't want to go in His timing. I want to do it my way. And we flip around and we get tangled in the net. And then your whole life is a life of bondage. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Let's read verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth what? Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. There's that entangling for the lost man where, I mean, it is evil, it is dread, it is. But for us Christians, there's still the possibility of entanglement where we fight against the net, that God's will is gently guiding us to shore, and we decide to go against it, and we are snared. We are entangled in the riches of this world. Go back to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter number 13, where we started. There's a parable earlier in this chapter. Matthew chapter number 13, there's the parable of the sower and the seed. Verse number 22. We're just going to read the explanation of what happened. Matthew 13, 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Man, that could happen to so many Christians when we resist God's leading in our lives. Just, I'm talking just the general movement of God in your lives. Resist it, fight against it, get focused on what I want, what my desires are, and then we're entangled in the richness, in the desire for the deceitfulness of riches. And it chokes God's will in our life. If we go one more page over, let's read through the parable here. We're going to finish up. It's cast into the sea. It gathers every kind. I was putting up a clothesline at our house. And there's a bent one that was there when we got there. Just one pole. I don't know what happened to the other one. I don't even see where it was in the ground. I haven't found cement or anything. There's one bent clothesline pole. So I ignored that. And I decided I'm going to put up something different. And we put a pulley up. So one tree has a pulley, and then another tree maybe 75 feet away has another pulley. And then it's very complicated. The rope's tied between them, and you can hang and slide until it hits the end. And then you can bring it all back when it's dry. It works good most of the time, right, Anna? It's a little too tall. I have to bring it down. I'm getting complaints from most of the people who hang up clothes that is too... We have a little stepladder there. I don't know what more they want. But when it gets heavy, they can droop down. I mean, we've tightened it already so much off the thing. But when I was going... That's not the point. When I was going to set it up, I was in my mind. I didn't measure it because I don't have a tape measure long enough, and I didn't even own a rope long enough to measure the distance between the trees. So I just... And I'm not very good at this. Yeah, that looks like 70, 50, I don't know, feet. So I'm going to go get a pretty long clothes. I got 100, 200 feet? I must have got 200. I got a big old thing. I had to order it. Lowe's was out of them. And I get a big one. I'm going to hang it up. Drill the holes. I got my plan, right? This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to drill the holes, put the pulleys in, run the rope through, and as I pull along, it'll unwind, and I'll get it to the other side. What do you see a problem with, Brother Sutliff? He knows. This is a man who's got some experience. I grab the end that's loose on the rope, and I start walking, and I'm feeding it along, and I'm walking towards the other tree, and then I look behind me, and I have a couple feet with me, so 190 feet of rope that now looks like... And I thought, oh, boy. I start... Maybe if I pull, loosen it and pull, like give it a little slack and then pull, it'll come loose. That didn't work. It just got tighter. And then I find the other end of the rope that was mixed in there. Maybe if I pull on this one, that made it worse. So I'm sitting there, it felt like an eternity, but realistically, I was probably there a half hour, and when you're talking that long of rope, you're just pulling, 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 pulling. Okay, I got through that loop. Okay, now I got pull, 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 pull to the other rope. And at first, I already had the one end tied up. I got it loose and I tied it up and I didn't want to undo it. So once you pass halfway in untangling the rope, what makes more sense? Start working with the other end. But in my stubbornness, I don't want to untie that. I already tied it up. I'm going to leave it there. Until, like, you know, you realize how much rope. My hands are, I'm getting blisters from just pulling a rope because of my lady hands. And I'm pulling it through, and I figure it's time. I'm done fighting this thing. I'm either going to cut it into pieces right here, right now, and go buy a new rope, or I've got to undo the other side. Christian, there's going to be times in your life when you know I am entangled. I am resisting where God is trying to lead me. God is pulling me. You are not going to stop him from pulling you through time, through life, to where he wants you to go. He's going to pull you. I mean, we know time stops for no man. You can go with him and have the freedom of being inside the net and swimming around with all the other fishes who are free, or we can be stuck in the net, entangled by the cares of this world, entangled by our own selfish and stubbornness and our own desires, entangled up in our sins. And the whole time just be... Have you met people who, every time you talk to them, their life is a disaster? Yeah. Every time. Hello, how you doing? Oh boy, you don't understand. This week, and I understand there's seasons in life and there's trials and some people have a harder life than others. But man, I can't help but think, I think there's only a few people that God knows can handle all that and still have a fruitful life in him. The rest of them are people who are just caught up. They're entangled, they're trapped, they're not growing, they don't have the freedom God wants them to have in their life, and they are just getting dragged until the day it's going to be over. God doesn't want that for us. He wants you to live in freedom. It says, let's read through it here. Verse number 48, it was gathered of every kind, and when it was full, they drew it to shore. They drew it to shore. One day we'll stand at that golden shore, amen. We'll be before God. And Isaiah 51:6 tells us, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." What a blessing that is to you and I to know everything that we think is it, this world, this life, our loved ones, the heavens that we see, one day God says, it's all getting washed away. But you know what's going to matter? What's going to last? His salvation and his righteousness. And if we're saved today, we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in us. So what does the lesson of the net here teach us? First of all, trust God has a plan. Trust God has a plan. That he is drawing you. In his timing, in his way, in his path, he has a plan for your life. Trust that God isn't looking down to you in cruelty, just trying to mess around and play a game and laugh at your frustrations. God has a plan for your life. Our job is to make sure we're following that direction. We're not resisting him. We're going with him. You know what I find myself praying for more and more? Is discretion. Like a spiritual discretion. To know, is this me? Well, my life, I got a hard spot. I'm running into a wall here. Is it my sin? Is it the circumstances of life? Or is it God trying to teach me a lesson? Pray for that. Say, God, open my eyes spiritually. When it says for us to walk in the Spirit, we're supposed to be spiritually aware, to be able to know when God is working and to be able to know when we are working. To know when God is leading and to know when I'm leading. Trust in God's plan. Follow it. If you don't know it, I'm not talking specifically like this job. We're talking throughout life because the individual things will change. And your desire should always to be in the plan of God. As the net closes in and we get closer to that day when we'll stand before him, make sure you're using the time you have to serve him. Not to be stuck in the net. Not to be fulfilling your own desires. And to what we started with, every kind is going to be there. That net gets to shore, everyone's in it. It's full. We're not going to pick and choose. You deserve the gospel, not so much you. Yeah, I want to witness to you, but not him. Those verses we started with in Matthew. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. All nations. We don't get to pick and choose who's saved, who deserves it, who's not saved, who's right with God, who's not right with God. God's going to sort it out at the end. Amen? Our job is to be faithful to bring the message. Christian, be encouraged. I know this is a serious. You talk about the end of life and hell, and it just, but it is a serious thing. I'm not saying it's not serious. But we need to use it as an encouragement to us, first of all, that we know when we get to the shore, that's just the start. Amen? There's a whole other life God has for us on the other side. Amen? But it should remind us also that this is life. This is the only chance we have to serve him. This is the only chance we get to prove, I'm going to follow you. I want you to lead me, God. I'm going to freely go where you're taking me. Yeah. And this is our only chance to let the other fish know around us, come with me. See that net back there? You're going to get stuck in that thing, and life is going to be miserable. There's freedom if we go this way. Freedom that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand. We'll pray together and be dismissed. Thank you for your patience. I know tonight's a little longer than normal. I think we got to get back to this time frame, though. I mean, this was normal church just about before the Rona ruined all our lives. So I thank you for that. It's getting a little warm in here, too. Is it just me now?
Yeah.
It's standing right here. It's the spotlights we got. Amen. Let's pray and we'll go our way. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessings that we can know that we're saved.